Yehudi Be'eretz Kanaan. Yaakov Avinu settled in the land of the dwelling of his father in the land of Kanaan. So the question is, Chasam Sofer asks, why does it say by Yaakov, by Yeshev Yaakov, the lashon of yeshiva, which is more of a lashon of being settled? By Yitzchok it says, Be'eretz Megure Yaviv, the land of the Gerus of his father. Gerus is more of a lashon of being a stranger there. Either it should have said, by Yeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Yishuv Yaviv, or Yishuve Yaviv, or by Yogur Yaakov Be'eretz Megure Yaviv. But why by Yaakov does it say a lashon of by Yeshev? And by Yitzchok, it says a lashon of Geirus, a lashon of Migure. So Chasam Sofer says that Yitzchok Avinu lived in Eretz Yisrael not as a kavua. He didn't feel at home there. The reason for that is because he lived amongst the Canaanim, which is really why we say that the Geirus, the Geriyah of Eretz Arach, of Eretz Loilohem, really started from Yitzchok, because Yitzchok felt like a Ger in Eretz Yisrael amongst the Canaanim. But Yaakov Avinu, on the other hand, he felt back at home. Because compared to what Yaakov Avinu went through, having to live with a lover in a mokum which was totally void of any Torah or any Kedusha, he had to live with Tmeim, then encounter an Esav. So coming back home to be with his father, Eilecha Yishuv Godol Mizeh. So by Yaakov it says, by Yeshev Yaakov, over the Gavi Yitzchak, he felt the Eretz, it was Eretz Megure Yaviv, the Eretz Canaan, because of the Canaan, he was in Eretz Yisrael. To Yitzchak, it was a Geirus, he felt uncomfortable there. Yaakov, compared to what he went through until now, coming back to his father, was Mamash Ganeh. So by him it says, by Yeshev Yaakov. As I learned at some Sefer. Eile told us Yaakov. These are the happenings of the children of Yaakov. Yosef ben Shvaesrei Shana, Hoyaroye es och echov basoin. He was 17 years old, and he was shepherding together with his brothers, taking care of the sheep. So the Chofetz Chaim says, Eile told this Yaakov. If you want to know the history of Klal Yisrael, the history of Yaakov throughout the Doiris, you have to look at what happened to Yosef. The relationship between Yaakov and Yosef, and what happened to Yosef, is a microcosm, it's a miniature of the history of Klal Yisrael throughout the generations. Yosef was the beloved son of Yaakov. Mamish, Navshay, Shura, Vinavshay, under his father, he mamish lived the life of Gan Eden. And what happened? He's ripped away mercilessly from his father by brothers that disliked him, taken away mercilessly, sent him to a faraway land. And over there, he had various nesyonos. Number one, he had the nesayon of riches in the house of Potiphar, where he could easily have forgotten his origins. He could have felt at home in the house of Potiphar. No, he overcame that nesayon. He had the nesayon of an Ashes Potiphar that tempted him into an Aveira. And then he had the nesayonis of the Tzoras inside the jail. And then again he had the nesayonis of Beis HaMelech, being a king over Mitzrayim, a land that was Tamei Shevitmeyim. And still he withstood everything. And on all of that it says that he is Yosef, he's Yosef HaTzadik. Who Yosef, it says, in Shemais, Mitzilosev HaTzofer, he remained innocent, he remained Kodesh, he maintained the tzura that his father had placed into him originally. This is the history of Klal Yisrael. Beloved to our father, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We lived in Eretz Yisrael originally, together with Hashem, where the Shekhinah was there, we had the Beis HaMikdash. Then we were ripped away mercilessly, sent into a land which is not ours, with kama v'kama nisyonos. Sometimes it's nisyonos of riches, and the nisyon is not blending into society. And me'idach gisa, other times it's persecutions, and we were jailed, and we were kidnapped, and all sorts of tzaras. By the end, we hope that we'll be able to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we are Yosef, your son. In the Navi, in Amos, Klal Yisrael is referred to as Ulai Yechanan Hashem Tzavokas She'eris Yosef, the remnants of Yosef. We are all called, all of Klal Yisrael is called the remnants of Yosef. Why? Because the history of Yosef is the history of Klal Yisrael. And what Yosef went through, and the same way he overcame everything, we are trying to overcome that, and we hope that the Meher of Yomeinu, when Mashiach comes, will also be able to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that our Tzura has remained the same, and we've remained faithful to you throughout all of these generations. As I learned to Chofetz Chaim, Eila told us Yaakov Yosef, the Toldus of Yaakov is Yosef, which means the Toldus of Klal Yisrael, and the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we go through the same thing that Yosef did. By Yelchu Echo Lirois Es Tzayin Aviyam B'Shchem. His brothers went to pasture the sheep of their father in Shechem. So there's dots on the word S. Rashi says, Nokud al S. There are nekudas on S. Sholehochu el aliris es atzma. In other words, the main accent wasn't on the tzayin. They came to pasture themselves. Now what does it mean they went to pasture themselves? What does that mean exactly? They certainly were not eating grass from the pasture. What does that mean, liris es atzma? I saw the Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in his Sefer Emes LeYaakov says, Amoyu dekib shakas, Amoyu dekib chiddush, but he bases it on the Sipurna. The Sipurna Mamre seems to say what he says. He says the following. The reason why the brothers went out to pasture the sheep in Shechem, because they sensed that Yosef was raided after them. He's trying to rule over them. And he was the chosen one. He was the favorite of Yaakov Avinu. And Mimela, they felt that he was trying to rule over them. Now, when it says, V'hu roya es echo batzayin, the Sipurna says, it doesn't just mean that he was pasturing the sheep together with his brothers. He was the master over his brothers in pasturing the sheep. Means Yaakov Avinu made him in charge of the sheep, and when the brothers, when they went out to pasture the sheep, they were mechuyev to listen to the tzibur of Yosef. Do it this way, and do it that way, and do it that way. It comes that Yosef, who was the youngest brother, was bossing his brothers around exactly what to do. So you could understand that they didn't like this. And they felt that he was trying to be domineering over them by going to their father and telling their tales. So they finally wanted to rebel. As asked the pshat over here, lirois es atzma. They wanted to pasture by themselves. They were not interested in any commands from Yosef. They wanted to get him off his back. They wanted to be mevatel any shlita that he had over them. And this was the beginning of their rebellion. And when Yosef came after them, you know, that's when they decided to kill him. So, Roya's attributes, they wanted to be Roya by themselves. And the truth is, if you want to be Moisif a little bit, the word Atzmius is a lesson of independence. They wanted to be independent, but I'm interested in Yosef ruling over us. Right? Now, this answers a different major kasha here in this parasha. Why did Yaakov Avinu send Yosef to see what the brothers were doing? Rashi says later on that every single day a different one of the brothers came to be Mishamish Yaakov Avinu, came to serve him. So Yaakov Avinu got a daily report of how the brothers were doing. So why did he send Yosef and put him into such a matzav? So for Yaakov, because he wanted Yosef to reestablish his rulership over the brothers. Yaakov Avinu said, they went out on their own without asking you for permission. They went out, you know, like they're totally ignoring you. Go there, and you have to reestablish your rulership over them. Yaakov Avinu wanted Yosef to be in charge. And the brothers of Yaakov went there. And Mimela, they were chosen that Yosef can come after them, so they played a trick. And they left Shechem, and they went to Dishon. Let him come to Shechem, he won't find us there either. We're not going to be miyayets with him, we're not going to do anything out there. This was the beginning of their rebellion. And when he came to domineer over them, you know, that's when they decided to kill him. That is the pshat, the way Rabbi Yaakov learns pshat and lyrics as atzman to pasture by themselves. Afterwards, I found that Rav Shimon Schwarz at Salon, the Sefer Mayim Beis HaSheva, he learns a different pshat and lyrics as atzman. Lyrics as atzman means to pasture themselves, to have a nice suda, to eat and to drink, and then to make merry. No. Why would he say that about the Shiftei Kah? Heilig Yishvotim, you know, that the Mamish, their names are Chokuk on the Choshen in the Beis HaMikdash. Why would they just go out to eat, drink, and make merry? So he says a very nice pshat. They felt that if there's no Achdus amongst the brothers, then the Shechinah cannot rest amongst Klal Yisrael. So when they were by their father, and when they saw Yosef being favored, their kinah against Yosef did not allow there to be Achdus. So they bedavka left their father's house to have a suda together, to bring Reyes amongst themselves. It says, "Gedoyel legima, chewing, eating is great. Shemekarevus es arachalikim. When people feel that they're not ba'achdus, it's makara people together. They felt that the only way that the Shechina is going to rest with them is if they live ba'achdus. So they decided to leave and make a suda without Yosef, of course, because if it's in his presence, it always leads to trouble. But amongst themselves, at least they should be achdus, and that way they'll bring the Shechina within Klal Yisrael." They saw him from far away. They plotted against him to kill him. This is brought down in Rabbi Yankov Sefer, Yankov Kamenetsky, that a Talmud asked him, L'chayre, isn't this Lashon Hara? Talking about Lashon Hara against the brothers. You're saying that they plotted to kill him. It was a terrible thing. The Torah speaks Lashon Hara against, you know, Choshev Yidin, the Shifteka. What's the pshat? So Yaakov's first reaction was, first of all, they're not alive anymore. They're dead. And there's no issue to speak Lashon Hara against the dead person. Actually, the Gemara Bracha says that either the Mason do not know what we're saying about them, and if they do know what we're saying about them, they don't really care. They know that this is a trivial world, right? So there's no issue of saying Lashon Hara against Mason. So Rav Yaakov says, even though it was brought down in Halacha that there's a Cheirim Kadmoinim to speak Lashon Hara against the dead, it's brought down like that in Halacha, he says, that's only said on Reitzi Shemra. But if it's not Reitzi Shemra, the Cheirim was never said. Mimela, there is no issue of here. Then Rav Yaakov said that the Kasha doesn't even begin with. Because the Kasha is assuming that the brothers did something wrong by plotting to kill Yosef. But the emes is, they held that they acted up the Allah. And they held that they were mechuyev to kill Yosef. Why? It's a W.A.D.U.A. the Sipurna, this week's parasha, that says that the brothers, they convened a Bezdin together, and they passed him that Yosef is chayev misa al tzedin of Reidev. What's the pshat? Why was he chayev al tzedin? The way they looked at it, Avraham Avinu had two sons. He had a Yitzchak and he had a Yishmael. Yitzchak was the chosen son. Yishmael was cast aside. L'dor Dairis, he's not the chosen son. Avraham Avinu sent him away. Yitzchak had two sons. Yitzchak had a Yaakov Avinu, who was the chosen son. And Esau was sent off to Har Seir. No Olam Hazeh, no Olam Haba. From their perspective, they were afraid that Yosef was doing the same thing to them. Being that Yosef was the most liked by Yaakov Avinu, they felt that Yosef was talking Lashon Hara against them because he wanted to become the son, and they're going to be relegated, you know, to the outside. And maybe Yosef even wanted them to get a claw from Yaakov, and that way they'd lose side the royal Mazan, side the royal Mabba. This is the way they looked at it. I mean, how else could one look at it when a brother goes and tattles on them? That's a pretty good, you know. They ended up being wrong. They didn't realize the tmimus of Yosef. That Yosef was talking tmimus dick, and he meant it to Yelis only, and he didn't mean it to elevate himself over the other brothers. And when he said over his dreams, he was saying it b'tayrus and nevuah. He meant it totally l'shem shemayim. But they didn't see that. They saw it, you know, as a superficial thing. So they were danim as a roidif. Habola hargecha, hashna v'harde chila. Someone comes to kill you, take away your neshama, your olam haba, you have a right to kill him. This is the way they pass on pi halacha. So Rabbi Yaakov said, if that's the case, it's not Lashon Hara, because again, they were mistaken, but they had a good basis to make their mistake on. That they saw the actions in front of them, and they judged according to the way they saw it. So Mamela, let's talk about Lashon Hara. So he's up to Rabbi Yaakov. Then Rabbi Yaakov continues. He says, it sounds like we're making up a drush. You know, yeah, they weren't really chayitim. They really meant to l'shem shemayim. You know, it sounds like we're saying some, you know, drush just to fend for the brothers, not to make them look bad. But that's not really the simple shot. Zokh Rabbi Yaakov, from the pasuk itself, it's muchach minei ubei. You have to learn like that. There's no other way of learning. Why not? Let's make a cheshbon over here. If the brothers really wanted to kill him out of pure hatred and jealousy, so Reuven comes and says, you know what, let's not kill him, let's throw him into the pit. Why would they mask him right away? If they hated him so badly because of jealousy, so why did they say, no, we want to kill him, you know, he deserves it. Why not? Why didn't they say that? The Tevet says, Reuven said that the Ikar is alterative. It's shy that we don't literally spill his blood. As long as we get him out of the picture, they'll mask him right away. Comes along Yehuda. He says, you know what? You don't even have to throw him into a bar. Sell him. You don't have to kill him. As long as you get him out of the way, that's good enough. But if they really hated him, and they were jealous of him, like regular, you know, sibling rivalry, they wouldn't have been masking to Yehuda. They would have killed him. Furthermore, later on, when they saw the anguish that had caused their father, they put Yehuda down, they took him away from his leadership. What's that all about? I mean, if you fellows wanted to kill him, you know, see, they said, if you would have told us otherwise, we would have done otherwise. Why? You wanted to kill him. The Torah says they were not interested in killing him. They were interested that he shouldn't cause them damage. The Taina Yehuda was, if you're the Melech, you should have thought of a way of minimizing his power without causing Yaakov Avinu such tzar. So Rav Yaakov, but if it would have been pure hatred and the Ratzon to kill him, then it's not shocking he would have given it to Reuven right away, given it to Yehuda right away, and totally changed their minds and throw Yehuda away afterwards. It's impossible. The Teretz they meant al pi halacha to be done as a roided and only to get him out of the way he shouldn't ruin their lives. And if they could minimize the damage, they wanted to minimize that. But they didn't have to show him to kill him. And that was Rav Yaakov. That's not what's not. The Inyan of Yehuda and Tamar. It's a simple pshat. It's a little bit schwer to understand that Yehuda, he had a daughter-in-law, Tamar, and she was married to Er, and Er died. And she married Oynon, and Oynon died. And then Shelah, she was waiting for Shelah to be miyavim her. And Yehuda wasn't letting that. So she got dressed up as a Zayna, and Yehuda ended up being miyavim her. What is the meaning of Yibim over here? Yehuda wasn't the brother. I mean, the mitzvah of Yibim was by your brother, not by your father-in-law. Zok the Ramban, that in the olden days, they understood the functions of Yibim behind the scenes, and they understood that it doesn't have to be a brother, it could be a relative as well. The Torah says, Ki Yeshu Achmi Achdom, there's a chiyuv on the brother. But the emes is, Yibim could be accomplished by a distant relative as well. You find that even Lachamat in Torah, you find by Boaz and Rus. Boaz wasn't the brother of the deceased. Why was he being the kind of the mitzvah of Yibim? Teretz, they understood the mitzvah of Yibim. They understood even with a relative, it could be done. Over the pasuk goes on to say, he mutes, she was found. The shochel chamia lemer, she sent a message to her father-in-law saying, Lo isha sher elu loy, the one that this mashkin belongs to. She took a mashkin from him. He promised her a sheep. She took a mashkin. Lo isha sher elu loy anoichi hara. But Taima she said, Hakir no lumi hachaysemes v'apsilem v'amata ha'ela. Who does this signet ring belong to? And who does this beggar belong to? And who does this stick belong to? And Yehuda, you know, Yehuda said, you know, Tzadka Mimeni, she's right, it belongs to me. It wasn't so easy for Yehuda to be mighty, you see. The people that were sitting on the Besdin being Dan Tamar, was Yitzchak Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu, and Yehuda was the third man on the Besdin. They were being Dan her first rafe. And when she said, she threw it to his feet. Who does this belong to? Yehuda had to be made in front of his father, Yaakov Avinu, and in front of his grandfather, that, yeah, I'm the culprit over here. So it was a Mayridikir, you know, busher for Yehuda. So there's a Niflidikatar Yainsen Ben Uziel over here. Tar Yainsen Ben Uziel says, Tomer is being taken to be burnt. She's looking for the three mashkainis that she took from Yehuda. She can't find them. Okay. She's dead. Calls man, she'd have the mashkin. She'd be able to say, hey, this is, you know, who's this from? But she couldn't find the mashkin. So she davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She said, B'vakosh Mimcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, great Rachamim, please answer me in my time of tzara when I scream at you. Please open up my eyes. I should find these mashkainis. And I promise you, that if you let me live, I will raise three tzaddikim that will jump into the fire of the Mekadoshim Shemayim Barab. And that's Hanani Mishol Bazari, the Shadam from Shevet Yehuda. This is what she promised HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent out the Malach Gabriel. He says, go open up her eyes and let her find it. And she found it. She threw it to Yehuda's feet. Yehuda looked at it and he said, Tzadka Vimeni. You know that, you know, she's right, this is from me. She was saved, and from her came out Hanani Mishol Bazari. So that's what Targum Sunusil basically says. So what's the meat, the connected meat over here? She said that if you allow me to live, from me will come out of Hanani Mishol Bazari, the Holy Mekadoshem Shemayim Barab. They saw a pshat in a sefer, Sorosi Bamedino. It's a, you know, a nice liquid on the Targum. And he brings down a pshat from Harav Sinai Halberstam, Shlita, he's the Shmigra, the Rebbe in Borough Park. Said a very nice pshat. Ta'enikul, the Rechayim. Said a very nice pshat in this time, Muslim Mida Kenegit Mida of Tamar producing a Hanani Mishal Bazari. So Tamar could have saved herself easily. She was about to be put in the fire. She could have saved herself easily. She could have said, my dear father-in-law, it's me that you were Mizana with in the Mela, you know, don't be dying me now, Lamisa. She could have opened her. I said three words, you know. I'm the one that you... And with that, she could have saved herself. However, she didn't want to be Mavaza, her father-in-law. So she was willingly ready, as Chazal say, Mutav La'odim is better for a person, La'hapal is Atzmai, L'soyach kivshon o'esh, L'yal v'nechaveh v'rab. She could have taken the easy route, she took the hard route. M'soyach davor, she was saved. That's exactly what happened to Hanani Mishal Bazaria. When Nebuchadnezzar made a big pestle 60 amos high, and all people that were in the vicinity had to bow down to the pestle. So Hanani Mishal Bazaria had a shayla. Is this an Avodah Zarah? We're not allowed to bow down to it. Or is it just a malchusdik kind of a thing, and Alpi Halacha we're allowed to? And even maybe Alpi Halacha we're allowed to. Or maybe to be Mekadoshim Shemayim, that nobody gets the impression that we're bound to Avodah Zarah, maybe we should have to be Mekadoshim Shemayim and be thrown into the furnace. They went in there to Yecheskel Hanavi, and Yecheskel is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to test Hanani Mishal Bazaria, so he sent back an answer, tell them that we're not going to help them in Hashemayim. If they go, they're going on their own, we're not giving them any help. As if it wasn't really the Ratzon for Hashem for them to do it. They said, we're going anyway. We want the world to see that Yidden are not going to bow down to anything that has any Shaykh Estavay Dezar. Immediately they went around to the crowd that was surrounding the Pesel. They were saying, why bow down to this? They were mafarsim from the fact we are not bowing down. The word got back to Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar, they heated up the furnace 7 times as hot as it was until then, and they were thrown into the furnace, and the rest is history. The Kiddushim Shemayim that came about by them coming out alive was Neira V'Oyim. That people were swearing by the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the Kiddushim Shemayim. So it comes out that they really did exactly what Tamar did. They could have taken the easy way out, right? They didn't have to ask the Shiloh to begin with. They could have passed him. It's not really an Avodah Zarah. And after they were told by Yecheskel, you're not going to get any help, they certainly could have said, okay, so Vayishtoy Shemayim Shemayim, they don't want us to do that. But they didn't take the easy way out, exactly like Tamar. They took the hard way out, and the male that was Zeichet, that's what Tamar says, I'm going to be Mechanech my generations, never take the easy way out. Always do what's best for HaKadosh Baruch. The emphasis is that this fits in very well with the beautiful pshat that the Vilna Gaon said when he was a little boy. The Gemara says, the Hanani Mishal Bazaria, they made a Kal V'Chomer from the Tzvardim. It says the Tzvardim, they jumped into the oven, into the fire. They were Mekadoshim Shemayim. So Mavet, the Tzvardim, that are not Bechiyah to be Mekadoshim Shemayim, and they went into the fire. We have a Chiyah, Kal V'Chomer, that we should. So when the Vilna Gaon was a little boy, the Shaya Saria asked the people around him, he said, what kind of a Kal V'Chomer is that? What kind of a Kal V'Chomer? The Tzvardim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the Tzvardim will be there in your living space, in your beds, in your ovens. So there was a favor, you should see where they're going to be in the ovens. So there is a chiyuv to be Mekadosh and Shemayim. But here, either Rabbi Mehecha Teshir, the Hanani Mishal Bazaria, have to go and throw themselves into the fire. So the Vilna Gaon was a little boy then. And he said, yeah, but no one said which Tzvardim have to go into the oven. It says they're going to be in your beds, they're going to be in your living space, they're going to be here, and they're going to be in your ovens. Each one of the Tzvardim could have said, who says I'm bechliv to go into the oven? And yet, there were Tzvardim there that said, we want to be Mekadoshim Shemayim. Hagar, we're not bechliv to, but we want to take the hard way out. We want to be able to be Mekadoshim Shemayim. That was the Kal V'Chomer of Hanani Mishal Bazaria. That they weren't bedavka mitzvah to go into the oven, but they did it anyway. We want to do Kal V'Chomer by us, we should do that. So the Shaya Saria picked up the Vilna Gaon and he says, Muftachani, that this is going to be a Gaon will be Yisrael. But that fits in exactly with what we're saying over here. The Mida Keneged Mida was that Tamar took the hard way, when she could have saved herself in an easy way, and that's exactly what Hanani Mishal Bazaria did many years later. And the pasuk by Yimoein, when Eishes by Tifar, she said, Shichva Yimi. It says, by Yimoein, he refused. Vayomer al Eishes Adonu. He said to the wife of his master, "Hey, Adonu, lo yada iti ma baboyis. My master does not know anything about what I do in the house. He trusts me with everything. V'chol asheyesh leinosin biyodi, whatever he has, he placed in my hand. Einenu gadol baboyis hazeni many. There's nobody greater than me here. V'lo chosach mi many mu'uma." He didn't hold back anything from the kiyam leishon. Asher atishtoi. The Eichel says, "Haroad leilazois. How am I going to do this terrible thing?" So the Mefarshim asks a question. It's mashma like Yosef is talking to her logically. I'm right that I should do this to my master. My master trusted me with everything. He trusts me, puts me at the top of his household. You know, it's not right for me to do something like that to him. At the very end, he mentions Bechotosi Leilukim. Like it's mashma from over here, Lechaira, that the Ikka was the logical reason that it's not a right thing, it's not an Ayosha. But if it would be Yosef, I would do it. Like, why was Yosef talking this way? So I saw a beautiful pshat, Mamasha, really meridik pshat, from Shimon Schwab in Mayim Beis HaShe'eim. Chazal say that the Yoylam, a person should be Isaac in Torah and Mitzvahs, Shaloy Lishma, Shemitach Shaloy Lishma Ba'al Lishma. So he teaches up the following. If a person is going to do only Lishma when it comes to Mitzvahs, sometimes the Eitzahara can get the better of him, and he convinces him, "Hey, you know, maybe it's not for you." And then he gives him to the Yetzirah, and then he's nichshel. But if a person has a shaloi lishma involved in it also for his own interest, so even if the Yetzirah convinces him not to be Aymed ben Isayin mitzad lishma, but he still has a solid foundation, "Hey, but it's in my interest not to do the Aveirah." And that's going to solidify it by him, he's not going to do the Aveirah. There has to be the basis of shaloi lishma, and on top of that, the lishma. Where do you find such a yisayit? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov Avinu when he was by Laban, "Come, leave your father-in-law's house and go back to the land of your fathers." So he calls out Rachel and Leah into the field. He says, "Listen, I see the face of your father. It's not the same attitude. He tried cheating me, kind of a comment upon him." And then at the end he says, "And by the way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also told me it's time to leave." What's that all about? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to leave. You leave without any rationalizations. Why is he giving a whole sacred thing? Because your father's not nice to me anymore. So over there, the Sfarim also speak out. A person, in order to solidify something by him, he has to first see how it's l'tayelus. And he's doing it because HaKadosh Baruch was telling him to do it, right? But if he sees that it's also a personal investment for him, it solidifies it by him. And that way the Yetzirah can't play any shtick with him. And even if the Yetzirah tries tricking him, but he still has that self-interest there. That's what happened over here. Zichri Yosef wouldn't have done it, because HaKadosh Baruch tells him not to. But the Yetzirah was burning over there. The Yetzirah was trying to convince him, don't worry, do it, no problem. So he had to rationalize Al-Pisechel, not allowed to do this. Al-Pisechel, my master, he trusted me, and he elevated me, and he made me so harsh in his household. Right? So if that's the case, first of all, it's not in my own self-interest, it's not in Ayoshim and Seichel Adam to do it, that solidified it, and V'chotosi Leilukim, it's a Chayt HaShem, but it was based on a solid foundation, and Memele, he was Tachayim and Binisayim. Have a good Shabbos, everybody, and a Freil and Chanukah.
Next week.
Bill will be here.
Yeah.
I said that some RV not want to embarrass me.